Shin Chof Dalet Sif Dalet Kashin Shel Shibolim Shekoshin Mishnayim Veshlesha Mekanis. So you have like a bundle of straw which they would tie together. They would band it. They would bind it together at the top and the bottom and the middle. They'd make it so they'd bind it together. Now you want to so mutla tiran k'deish atayuchol mehem abehem. You want to untie them, thereby allowing, making it loose enough that the animal can get the food out. Now b'yesh armim.
Formally untying is a.
So the issue over here actually is what we're dealing with over here is not the malacha of kosher and matir, which we're going to get. That's going to come like a side point. Is the tircha involved in making them what's considered a valid tircha that you're allowed to do to make the food accessible to the animal? What's considered extra work? Okay. So it's only permitted if it's you're dealing with a knot which wasn't a permanent knot. Mr. Brewer will say everybody agrees to that a point. It's not really Yesh Misha Omer. But once you've unbound them, so you can't sort of rub them together, which you sort of like, in other words, now you want to like push it, now that they're unbound, but they're still pretty bunched together because they were bound for all this time. You untie them, they're going to sort of stick together still. So you want to sort of like spread it out. You want to make it easier for the animal to eat. That you can't do. Why? Because we have the following rule. Something which the animal can't eat without this, your action, you're allowed to do in order to make it, they have the animal should have what to eat. But the extra tirk of doing something which is already a food, it really is edible, you just want to make it, do the extra tircha, making it nicer and better. We're not allowed to do the extra tircha of making it more easier for the animal. That already, Chazal said, you know, the animal can eat it. You don't have to make it that much more special for him.
And why would you do that during the week?
Just makes it easier for the animal to eat. So it's, you feed your animals, they'll eat more or whatever. But it's not necessary. So the Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis V'yesh Omrim. The custom of Tosefta Shabbos, the name of a sefer, Tosefta Shabbos, came a sefer Beis Meir. The Kuli Almas Tira Luchachi. Nobody argues that you can't untie a knot, which is a permanent knot. The Neshel Amotza Din Mazem Afurish Barak Mokam Echot Kosef Yesh Mishram. Since the only person who pointed it out was the Hagol Salfasi, therefore the Ramah used the language that somebody, there are those who say, but not that anybody argues really. Now, the Krager quotes the Marikash. The Marikash holds that the Rambam does argue. However, even if that would be true, we're not going to be makel. The Das Rashi v'Haramach gam ken the Yesh Kosher Matar apa ochle behema, that the Malacha of Kosher Matar applies to ochle behema. What they used to bind it wasn't rope, they would use straw to bind it. So the question is, maybe since it's a food, it's not really considered a knot, that it's an oichel behemoth, it's a meichel of a behemoth, this the what you're using to tie it, so maybe that's not considered kosher matir. So he says, no, we pass on that it is.
Interesting. In the Yalkut Yosef, they talk about whether you can do the Aguda on Yom Tov Sukkot.
Right.
So I think the Mechaber holds you can't be kosher.
Right.
For the love. And in the Yalkut Yosef, they're lenient, and they say you can make a knot with the with the stick of lulav.
Because it's Michael Behema.
I don't remember the
reason. Right. There is the Gemara says that there's that on a Michael Behema there isn't. There isn't then a kosher matter. There's an oichlim, or the more at least presents such a shita. I'm not sure what the chayotim and the shaka b'tayv over here is. I don't remember what he said over there. Chinyan Zion. He said, "Hey, second."
So was tied with rope. So we're saying, after opening the hema, don't untie it if it's a kesher shakayama.
Right.
But if it was tied with rope, that's...
Nobody's going to argue on that.
But that's even worse than opening the hema. Okay.
It's even worse than
So he brings the question that whether Arkla Behema have a din of kosher matter, and he tells you to look at Shin Chav Dal Sif Dalad Bahagoa that there is. It's Rashi and Shabbos, the Ramach, maybe not like the Rambam, maybe the Rambam holds it now. Okay. Fine. Lasos Oichel, Mishum Tzara de Behema. We're allowed to take something which is inedible and make it edible because that's the needs of the animal. But to make it more edible, once it's already usable, that you can't do. So coming off of what we said in Sif Hei, it's Sif Dalad, but the Mechaber says in Sif Hei, Eitzim, Sheksotim in Ilon, you would cut off these branches from the tree, they're like the new fresh branches. V'yesh Mechilim was some of the Behema, but in Lachim, they're still fresh, they're soft, some people would, sometimes you could feed it to the animal, therefore they're considered a Michael Behema. Matirin, you're allowed to untie them, in case you bound them together, you're allowed to untie them. And umafasusin, which is a loshon shivshuv behem lachilim, you can spread them out and rub them, etc. Spread them out. Why shenabrim below shivshuv? Because they are not edible without doing the act of spreading them apart. And therefore, that's considered all under the goes under the category of making into an oichel, which you said was mutter. Mr. Bura Yud Gimel, no Yud Dalad shenabrim v'havi v'chlal shivri oichla demutter. So we said making it into a food is mutter. So this goes into that. Under that same rule. Okay, Vav. Mechatkin deluyin lifnei behema. We can take a deluyin as like a gourd, we can cut them up into pieces in front of the animal. It's only if they were attached beginning of Shabbos, they're muksa gomer. So if they were detached before Shabbos, they're not muksa. So now you're allowed to cut them to make them edible for the animal. So the Shabbos is going to say, what was the case? Why do you need to cut them? But the animal eat them, rip up a piece and eat it as their whole. So the Shabbos says, Vav, Deluyin, gourds, Vedavka, Kashahain, Kashim, they're hard. Shenbriyam, Lo'echo, Beloichituk, which you can't eat, the animal cannot eat them without cutting. Avo Kashahain, Rachim, when they're soft. So they're really edible without cutting them. That goes back to the rule that once it's already an oichel, the extra effort of making it more accessible and more edible is not permitted. Okay, now, a filu kashim, even in the case where they're hard, which we say you're allowed to cut them. You can't cut them too small, because that's a malach of teichin, which is cutting it up into small pieces. Chopping of vegetables finally is called teichin. And even though the paradigm case of teichin is grinding it into flour, but taking something and cutting it into small pieces is also under that, goes under that malacha.
How small is seems to be, from what I've seen, seems to be
more of a conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. V'ayin oich shom oich. Furthermore, the isra tchil l'shayach rakim daito l'achilam l'achisman. There is a shita which says that if you want to do tchina for immediate use, it's mutter. V'masha daito l'achil l'hatluyim v'ayirokas v'chei gavnan l'fneya behem v'oifas v'pam echod zelo nechshav tchina. That's not considered tchina. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, however, before in Siman Shin Chav Aleph, brought up that this is still machlokes. This heter of immediate use by teichin, by berurah, there is such a heter of immediate use, but teichin is a machlokes. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah said that even you should, therefore, because of machlokes, you can't stop somebody who's doing it because the Maaseh of the Ramah says you could do it. But you can be careful. You should be careful not to cut it too small. This way, you're passive, not getting involved that he says the lashon is chatichas gedarlos kitzas, a little bit larger. That's where the question is. This little bit larger is a somewhat nebulous phrase. So what he said over there was. Definition of Gedolus Kitzas. So he brought up the Mosef Dirshu. They, if you want to look back, it's on page parallels, page Kufmem Tes. He quotes from the Chazon Ish that's a little bit normal, larger than you would normally do during the workdays. From Shlomo Zalman, that anything you still need to chew, that's called Gedolus Kitzas. But he brings from Remis and Karelitz that he brings another shot over there. He brings from Remis and Karelitz. Says it's not totally in the fact you have to chew it or not. He doesn't give an exact shear. He doesn't like that shear. That's quite a makel to get shear on the definition of doc or not doc. So the mevelt seems to be similar like the Chazon Ish. If you can do it a little larger, a little larger than the person would normally do in the week, that's considered Gedolus Kitzas.
Gedolus Kitzas.
It's interesting, the Mishnah over here just presents it as if it's clear, everybody clearly agrees to it. Whereas over there, he makes it, you know, he raises issues with it.
This is a Chazon Ish on which Sivkat?
There in Sivkat and Memhe. Number 59.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tezayin. So the Mishnah Berurah and Lishum Yasmol. Obviously, we're talking about these diluyim had fallen off the tree, or been taken off the tree, or off the vine, not the tree, the vine that they grow on before Shabbos. Dilu Lishayim. If they're taken off now on Shabbos, means at the beginning of Shabbos they were attached. Also, if you look at Tzalon, the Kuliyama Mishum Muksa, they're Muksa. So you can't even move them. Forget about cutting them up. Zion. Okay. Mechatkin nevela lifnei aklovim afilo nisnabla hayam. Now, there is machlokes between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. And Rav Shimon's shita is that something which, unless a person has actively been maksa it, in general, Rav Shimon doesn't limit his alochas of muksa. So these types of items which are depending on do you plan to use them or not, the person has in the back of his mind that I might be able to use it for X, that's called they're not muksa. Unless a person has actively been matzket b'yadayim. So in the case where you could have picked the fruit before, picked the gourds before Shabbos, and the person didn't do that, that's equivalent to making a decision, I'm not going to be using them on Shabbos. So now, if they fall off on Shabbos, so they're considered muksa still. In case you have an animal which died on Shabbos, now you want to cut it up and feed it to your dogs, so that's not, you weren't going to actively go and kill the animal, but you had in mind, in case the animal dies, so that's not considered muksa according to Mishnah. That's how we paskin. So machat nevela lifnei aklavim. I feel nisab l'hayom. You can cut up the nevela, a dead animal which dies in person's animal, whatever it is, dies in Shabbos. He can cut it up to feed to his dogs, even if the animal died on Shabbos. Ben shahayisam mesukenis. Not only if the animal was deathly ill, which obviously the person's contemplating the possibility that the animal might die. that the Ben Shai Zabriyim then was healthy. Jim Harber is saying that still that the Kurdim Shimon is not considered Mux. Now, but getting back to the issue of dealing with the preparation of food for animals, Bahani Milim and Avail of the Kakosh, it's a hard body. They can't eat it unless you would cut it up for them. So that's when we say that's mutter. So, but if the animal can eat it before you cut it, so why are you cutting it? The extra tircha is not mutter. The mitzvah, but mashu roy l'tirchin. And so much ready roy for the animal to eat, you're not allowed to do the extra tircha of cutting it up for them. So we'll see. Does the concept of tchina apply? Of tchina apply to cutting up this meat? So the Mishnah Berurah. Ben Shai Zabriya Yud Zayin. We say earlier, Rabbi Mistabe Bebriya. He's not sure that the case with the animal was healthy, totally healthy, that it should be considered non muksa. The hoisa died to cloud me, but Yarmish to Thomas or Yakov Mimano the cloud me. He doesn't even dream of the possibility the animal might die and feed it to the animal. And therefore it's considered muksa. So it'll be considered muksa, and you can't even move it. Forget about feeding it to the animal. The Sharsian points out, however, if it was ill, even though it wasn't deathly ill, that already Rishimun would definitely hold of that's not considered muksa, because it's a possibility already that the animal goes from being slightly ill to very ill to dying. That's a possibility. But tell us the animal's totally healthy, that or even Rishimun would agree is muksa. And similarly, the Birgur also does not seem to be comfortable with the Psak of the Mechaber, that a case that was totally healthy is considered not muksa. Okay. The meat was kosher yudches. Even if it's not totally hard, the animal with effort would be able to eat it. It's still permitted to cut it. That's making it a food for the animal, and if it's permitted. But
didn't we say earlier that even if it's a little bit hard, as long as it's edible, we can't soften it? I think it was by the kashan, the shivoling.
No, what you might be thinking of is in Sifkot and Tezvov, by the case of the diluyim. That they're hard, and therefore they can't eat without being cut. But they're soft, which means they're edible without. So he's saying, now I have an omadrega, where it's slightly edible. It's not. So that already is that already that's still part of the process of making it edible for the animal. But making it from not edible to edible. But once it's already edible, just making it easier for the animal, that's not permitted. You test. It's hard. She actually has wooden because she raka. Actually, come him ktanim the chol nevel kosher lehem. Or if you're very small animals like little pups, any food is hard for them. You can cut it up into pieces. Now, can I cut it up dak in front of the birds? Dava gav the oifus and your chalim lechol ki im kishachotu dak. Chickens can't eat large pieces of meat. They needed to have it cut up into small pieces. So the chara that should be mutter out to the tircha issue. Mikom malchav is also mishum cheshash tchina. And now you have a malach of teichin. You cut it into very small pieces. Now, v'aymir alochah the zeh koy dafka al baser chai kosher. Avoloi al baser nevela the zeh mutter filu dak. That the malach of teichin, he says, does not see that it applies on. On Basar Behema. So what's the difference? Basar Nevela. So what's the difference? He says that in general, Basar Nevela you would feed to Anna, other Anna, his dogs, etc. It's not limited to birds. Vasachai kosher, which you're feeding the birds, you don't need a large amount, you'll cut up a little piece and give it to the birds. But again, you wouldn't be giving that, you wouldn't be giving your edible, halachically edible meat to your dog. Yes, things were different in those days. Now, so why is that important? What's the difference? What difference should it make? Since the basar avela, it's betzam oimed lachilas klovim, and they don't need it to dak. So that mice of cutting the small pieces doesn't really have any significance at all. So it's not considered tchina. If it's oimed only for oifus, and they need to have it cut dak for them, that act of cutting a dak would be considered kosher, but no, that'd be problematic. And again, if they oifus, but again, you have the heter of the intermediate use. It's going to be mutter for teich. And again, when we mishabura before, limited that heter to if it's a little bit larger than usual. Okay, the logic behind that heter, we spoke about then, was. There is the bakor for the heter is learning it from barer, because there's a heter. One of the tenoim of the heter of barer, if it's samach lachil, if it's samach lasuda, so that makes it that's mutter. But what's the lumnus? The lumnus is that Chazal understood that the malacha of barer isn't choosing something; it's choosing something not part of the achila process. The achila process has elements of choosing in it. You put things in your mouth, some things you don't like, you spit out the skin, you spit out the bones. I mean, that's all part of the achila process, is taking what you want and leaving what you don't want. That's not barer, that's achila. Barer, the more definition of barer is called barer la'otzer. It's being barer to be put it away for later use. That's the definition of barer. And the logic is because achila is mutter on Shabbos. That's not a malacha. So anything which is clearly understood as part of the achila process is not going to be aser. That's why the kuli amaloi pligi, if a person sticks fish in his mouth, he can pull out the bones. Mm-hmm. Why? You're pulling out the bad from the good. Well, it's for me to use, yeah, but it's bad from the good. But the mice, if once it's in your mouth, it's derech achila. It's not. So the chiddush halacha is we're going to extend derech achila applies while it's on the plate. When it's all part of the achila process, so there are a certain heterim. So samach lasuda makes it into a ma'isa achila. So teichen also, the definition of what is chewing, you cut it into small pieces. So, I mean, why isn't every time you chew your food, you're over the malach of teichen? That's normal, it's derech. Teresh, that's not teichen, that's not the malach of teichen, that's achila. So since teichen and achila are very similar, you're going to have to draw up a line of differentiation and say, okay, but the Torah understands if it's part of a ma'isa achila, that wasn't the malach of teichen. Teichen means grinding something up to make something out of it, do something with it, later uses, etc. But part of the media process, so the same way it's mutter in your mouth, so this sheet of holes is mutter on the plate. Because that's all part of the chila process, even dak is mutter. That's the lumnus. In other words, this lumnus samach lasura is it's a way to extend what's called achila. Okay, ches. Zatam mechaber in chaytchen shachas. Pirish, what is shachas? Pirish, zatam ramo, or whoever this mafarish is. Yorik shel tavua shenikser teremet nisbash lahatvua. You have a grain, and the stalks grow, and before the stalks start growing, before the kernels start to grow on the stalks, you would cut it down to use for hay, or whatever it is. Many times what would happen, the Morse says that they would cut it off and they would grow back, and so you could get maybe two or three harvests of hay before you would then let it go finally and just let it grow the grain and have the grain out of it. So that was called shachas. So now you have the shachas, you want to chop it up in front of the animal, so you can't do that. And also of cheruvin, you can't cut up cheruvin, carob, lithnei behema, ben daka, ben gasa, whether the animal is a large, small animal or a large animal. Because again, this logic, it's not really necessary to do this for the animal to eat it. that the Mishabura and Chaf Beis and Chayes on Shachas. I feel Chatichas Gedelus the less Bumishamuk. There's not, even though the issue isn't the size, the large pieces, no problem of Teichet. You can't do it. Why the Meloy Chituch? Because even without cutting them up, they're really irritable. Umuchach Mizez, the Mishabura of Gimel. The Mari Barak, I'm talking about obviously that they're soft. So therefore, they're edible even without his extra effort, so his extra effort is also. Now, Abba B'charub and Kushan, you have hard, you know, if it's a fresh carob is soft. But if it's hardened already, so that might be quite difficult for an animal to eat, especially an animal which is a behemoth daka. B'charub and Kushan, Shenem Ruyam B'il Tichituch, Mutter, B'chashi B'yoichluhu. So that's already the rule we had before. If you can't eat it without it, it's mutter. But there's a problem of toichein, unless it's larger pieces. If the person is doing this tchina for later usage. So again, the Mishnah over here do not seem to stem with what he says before in Shin Chavala that you should be machmer and it requires chetilas gedolas kzas even if it's samach lasuda. So the Mishnah seems to be, you know, saying samach lasuda is a heter even without gedolas kzas.
Make any kind of distinction between cutting for animals and for people?
Shouldn't make a difference. I mean, it might just make a difference in regards to the cheshivas of the process, but in regards to the teichin aspect, it shouldn't really. Once you're done with teichin, animal versus person should make a difference.
So I thought I saw by cutting vegetables for people. I thought I saw whether that was a cousin Ish, I think, or something with the notes that if the person can't eat it at all without cutting it. Small, then it's a problem. In other words, if they could eat it,
right. So that's what we said over here. Also, the same thing. The difference between a bird and an ant. If it's eager for animals who can eat it without it, so then the mice of cutting the meat is not considered toichin. But for birds, if that much is only used for birds, so then it's a problem because they can't eat it without cutting it. Same type of sword. The issue over here, the more that we're dealing with a chiltin making it, if it's making it from inedible to edible, that's still without dealing with toichin. That's the issue with the issue of the Rabbanon of getting involved in making my macholin. So Chazal said, if the animal needs it without you, so you can't eat it without what you're doing. So Chazal remanded that because it's sour for the behemoth. But if the animal can eat it, just make it more nicer for the animal. That's actually a tircha you shouldn't do. That's a tircha issue. That's not dealing with the teichin, with the size. When it comes to size, it's the opposite. You're right. The more inedible it is, the more problematic it'll be. As opposed to over here. In regards to tircha, the more inedible it is, the more mutter it is. Now, the reason why the Rambam Gemara says the opposite, you're right. The Rambam Gemara says that from inedible to edible is osur, from edible to more edible is mutter. He says the exact opposite. We don't pass them like that. Okay, now, so what about feeding the animal? There was all of these cases that were talking about putting food in front of the animal. What about putting the food into the animal's mouth, some levels of feed, force feeding it, etc. So what's mutter and what's asur? Tess. Ein oivsin es agamol. So, the Hainu, what is oivsin? Shemachila biyodui kol kach ad shemachibin b'nei me'el ke'evus. You sort of force feed it a large amount, so like its stomach expands like a trough. Like you're sticking so much in as if you're pouring the food into the trough. It's a very large amount of food feeding.
It's force feeding. I mean,
it's force feeding.
Using pressure that otherwise without that it
wouldn't take that amount in. So this is a tircha yaseira, because I will not mat to that. Willow Dorsin. You can't do drisa either. Okay. The Haino Shadarisla Michael Begrenal Malkam Shani Yochalasira. He puts it so far down the throat that the animal cannot, not swallow. It's automatically going to be swallowed.
That's less. It's less invasive than
oivsim. It's still awesome. Now, Well, the way the Rambam presents it, the issur of oifsin is an issue because it's so much. The issur is tircha, even if you would theoretically get away, the animal would eat it without forcing it down its throat to the point where it wouldn't cough it back. It means that the animal's eating on its own, it would still be usur because you're feeding him too much food, and that's extra tircha, which isn't what to. Alva malitin. But you're allowed to be malit, which is putting it in the mouth in the place where it, in a place where the Shulchan Aruch will add off, that's a place where the animal doesn't have to swallow, it could spit it out. Ein mamirin esu agolim, alva malitin. When it comes to agolim, you can't do the act of being mamir there, which is basically the same halacha, just they use a different word when it comes to agolim, the little calves. Ezeo hamra, what is hamra? The mokum shadir cholahach, so it's putting it so far down the mouth that the animal can't spit it out. Halata, the mokum shadir cholahach, sir. It's not so far down, and the animal could cough it out if he wants. Hagavad din tanagarlam, vavozim kidin agavad.
It's the Farish and Mishnah,
Shabbos. These are all Mishnahs of it, right.
East, we know, we're very familiar with the
Gishtopt agains, yeah. Right. Zot Mishabura in Chabdalit, in Oysen, calls them Yishum Tirch Yisera. The Isser of the Rambam is, the Isser is because of Tirch Yisera. The Rambam has a different reason. Sharzim brings a different reason from the Rambam. Shinechol Achzira, Shtechol Leibit Liftim, he basically puts it beyond the place where the natural swallowing takes place, and therefore it's not going to cough it out. The Malkum She'ena Chavov Hamro is Enichol LaHachzer. Mashi Gemara, the Chol She'ena Marbis is a Behema, Enichol Litzuv Kolkach Ba'omek, Malkum She'ena LaHachzer. The more says, how can you tell what it is? If you sit the animal down on its, what do they call that? The act of healing the animal, H-E-E-L, right? You could make the animal heal, so it sits on its hind legs, and when you do that, it's called being marbitzit. Then you can put it down very far, but if it's standing, you can't get, just the way the animal's head is, you can't get that far down. So it will not be a case of hamra. Tanagalam avozim, tanosh also litzchei begrenim amaychol achla yir chalim lahasir. You can't put it that far down that they can't spit it back out. Now,
we're saying that what's allowed, what's not allowed is it's such a one way to determine that is that the only way you'd be able to do that is if the animal were crouching.
Right. So that's just a way to tell how far you're putting it down. Now. Now, vavozes shemefatimim oisom. So you're fattening up the geese. V'hergul b'chol lechol ayadei hamra. And during the weekdays, they would feed them do hamra. V'erochel minyanach. They got to the point where they don't eat any other way. So now they're not used to eating. So what happens is you have to feed them that way. So mutal armalei avid gugulim al hamroisom mishum sar balechayim. So you would have the goy feed them. You only do it once a day. Even though normally they feed it twice a day, that's not necessary. If there's no goy around, then sure, hamra yisur mishum tzarbal lechaim. If there's no goy around, a Jew could do it because it's tzarbal lechaim. The animal needs to eat. Tzarbalas is al yedei katan. It's better to do with not a gadol but a katan. I can lashon amagan. Rama simin shin hey sif katan yud beis. Avasei al yirabah hikmar shel lahamras al yedei Yisrael. No, you can't have a Jew do it because I'll ask this because of tircha. Now it's interesting because the before in shin hey mishmer quoted this. He didn't mention that he just mentioned the shuv was ramah and there was a mutter. Mikadas Mashal, Ho Isabizel, he passed in like the Mashal, became in Sifkai, Makram Bezel, Akach, Monsesi, Bimiri, Bechudish, Iran, Jesus was Mikadash al Shabbos, Mashagam came, that time Kadas Oisim, Banri Alocha. Now he brings over here in the Shiri Bracha, which is from the Chidor, he quotes one of the Gedolim that halabai they shouldn't be doing this in general, because there's many avaras involved. Many times it causes a hole in the veshet by this force feeding, and then you'll have a tray for animal, and people end up eating it. The whole thing is not berots and chachamim that they're doing this act of gestopping them gens. So, oi to the rabbanim of the town that you're not stopping this. So it's not something which Chazal, which the halacha really condones.
Is this by Agolas also?
I would imagine so.
Because isn't veal exactly that?
Veal is something else. Isn't there a tshuva of Rav Moshe because
they're not overfeeding
the calf? There's a problem with calf with veal.
But the white veal, the problem with the white veal, is that they keep the animal locked up, that it can't move around, so it's very, very soft, and they just feed it like through this process. So it's just, it's they have total control over what it's like, etc., as opposed to regular calves, which they let roam, etc. So regular calves are not, the veal is just from a calf. But the white veal, which is like a very, very light color, that's what would go into this beer halacha. You shouldn't be doing it. I'm not familiar with the Shubha Hermosha. I'm not saying it's not, I'm just not familiar.
By the veal, are they overfeeding the animal, or they're just not letting it walk around? And they're feeding
this white veal, I think the whole thing is done. I don't think they overfeed it, but they feed it down its throat, so make sure that it swallows whatever they want it to swallow.
But there's some hashgachos not.
I don't know. Zotter Shulchan Aruch Yud Mutter Litin Maichu B'fiyam Shal Tarnagalim. You're allowed to put the food into the mouth of the tarnagel. Now, Zotter Mishnah Berurah Chav Ches. What's the case over here? Hainu B'fiyam Hainu But L'Malkam Shiyuchalam L'Hach. So they're talking about you're putting it not so far down that they can't spit it out. You're putting it in the beginning, the front of the mouth, where they could still spit it out if they want. This is really the din which he just said in Sif Tes, that the Ramah said that we deal with birds like Tarnagolim, we deal with like a golem, that you can put it where you can spit it out and not where you can't. So what is Ramah adding in Sif Tes when the Shulchan Aruch says about a preferish in Sif Yud? He's speaking it out. Because the Mechaber over here, he doesn't say where you're putting it, how far down you're putting it. So the Ramah points out that you only can put it in a place where the animal could spit it out. Now, but that the Chodesh material, the Malkam Shechelam Lahachs. Even this hat over here, putting it where Lahachs here, we have to deal with Muksa. Hanu Dafkim Hu Zoyer Oz Shlolatalta. You shouldn't be moving the animal while you're doing it. The Chobal Lichaim Hey Muksim. So since this isn't necessary, so. It's muksa, you shouldn't be moving it. If you have an animal which can't eat otherwise, so then Tzarba Lechaim will permit the issue of muksa. But over here, sticking this in this animal's, you're moving the animal around while you're sticking it in. If you don't really need to do it, why are you doing it? So there's no heter, even if you're putting it in a place where you're a chol hachzer. Okay, let's hold it here. So we just finished.